Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So growing up as a Christian, you know, maybe it's obvious, but I can honestly say I never seriously considered giving up on the faith. But I can think of times when I had honest questions and concerns, but I always felt that they were responded, or people responded to them in a satisfying way. But for a long time, I did have one stumbling block. The thing I could not figure out for me was the demand made by, well, it's made by all religious types of people, and that is, we should praise and worship God. Even worse, that God himself demanded us to praise and worship him. I say that because I don't think it's a stretch to say that we all kind of despise the guy or the person who demands continued assurance of his own virtue and his own intelligence or his delightfulness or just his talents. I don't think it's too far to say that we don't really like the guy that wants praises. And even more, we kind of despise the crowd that follows the dictator or the millionaire or the celebrity and all they do, and these people kind of gratify their demands. And so I would always kind of picture the same being portrayed of God and his worshipers. Because I think we can all picture that radical worshiper of their God who follows him throughout anything and does terrible things, or those radical religious people who would go and follow after praising their God through various and different means without any question or without any concern. And so it always troubled me that this is what God demands from his worshipers. For even us as Christians. And the Psalms for us, if you read through them, do it all the time. Praise the Lord. Or sometimes they would say, praise the Lord with me. And these people of God, they'd insist that others would praise God. And that God himself would speak in the same way. In places like Psalm 50, whoever offers me thanks and praise, he honors me. As if God is saying, what I want to be told is that I am good and great. And the Psalms often give us these prayers that constantly offer this sort of praise and worship and thanksgiving, where they even sometimes sound like those other ancient religions or pagan religions. God, if you like praise, do this for me and you shall have all the praise from me. We find that in Psalm 54. Lord, save me and I will offer a free heart to you and praise your name. There's something about worship and praise to a God that demands it that is so off-putting to me. Even in our reading today from Deuteronomy, hear, O Israel, I am the Lord your God. You shall love the Lord your God with your heart, your soul, your might, telling your children, put them on your heart, write them on your hand, keep them on your doorposts. There are times when it sounds a bit icky that God would demand people to praise him. Look at me and my glory. You ought to be praising me. I am God, after all. And to me, I often see no difference between the psalmist who urges us to praise the Lord God and that talented celebrity who demands worship and service from others. And sure, I can admit talented people are talented, but I'm not going to fall at their feet because of it. Well, needless to say, my former conception of praise and worship was a bit off. Because to praise the Lord God Almighty, the Creator, is different for us. And so I want you to think of something you admire, something you find, well, wonderful. It could be something admirable, like a picture or a work of art, or maybe there's a song in your head that's kind of playing along. Perhaps an artifact in your house that's important to you, or maybe just it's the car in your driveway that you find to be very admirable. Well, I think our admiration of those things is the correct and appropriate response to it. Because if we don't admire it, then we should be missing out on something. Because we pay admiration, we pay awe and respect and value to the things that are beautiful, to the things that are good. And if we don't admire it, if we don't find joy in it, then we'd be the ones who miss out. We'd be the losers. And so the process of being worshipped to finding praises to God is how our God communicates his presence to us. The beauty of the Lord is revealed chiefly or just only while we worship him together. The way we see God in Jesus Christ is the appropriate response because the work he has done in the creation and through Jesus is admirable. And I can see it that way, but what bothers me more is that God demands the worship in the first place. That he demands us to give praise as a lawgiver, and that we're still obligated to go to church. But yet I find we can still miss the point if that's all we think, that something from Deuteronomy or even what Paul has said is the only reason we find praise to God, as if strict obedience is what is required of us. If we understand the Old Testament well enough, the sacrifices that God requested of the people of Israel, the bulls and the goats and all the various things, it wasn't that God needed them for himself, but that the bulls and the goats and the sacrifices offered and doing them, God gave himself to men. And I think in our own worship, we experience this far clearer. That here, God manifests himself physically, and God who gives, and we are the ones who receive it. It's in the act of worship and praise that we are invited to be in God's presence, to receive his gifts. My own fault is that I thought praise was only things we offer as compliments, approval, or just giving honor to someone. Yet as people, we offer praises all the time. We worship things all the time. Boyfriends show praise in their girlfriends. Readers find praises in their favorite poets. Walkers praising the countryside. Players praising their favorite games. We praise the weather, wines, dishes, actors, motors, horses, colleges, countries, children. Even praising flowers or the rare stamps that you can find for your collection. Often, we find that the most humble people and the most balanced are the ones who praise others the most. And rarely do we see the cranky, man or the annoyed woman and misfits offer praises for other things. It's the good critic that finds something to praise in many imperfect works, and the bad critic who continually narrows the list of good qualities and tries to draw your focus on only the negative. Yet even the guy who grows up in a luxurious house, who has the best chefs and cooks and artists at his disposal, can find something praiseworthy in a modest meal. If we're interested in a hobby or find tremendous value in this or that thing, we sometimes can't help ourselves but to urge others in praising it. We say things like, "Have you tried this new restaurant? Have you read this new book? Isn't she lovely?" And when Paul tells us in Colossians the glorious picture of who Jesus is and his work in the creation, all he is doing is what we all do when we speak of what we care about. My difficulty with the word praise and worship is really my own absurd thought that God needed our praises in the first place. But in reality, praise and worship is something we delight to do, and what we can't help but do about everything else we value. I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses our enjoyment, but it completes it for us. Lovers are not looking for compliments from the other person when they tell their spouse they love them or that they're beautiful. The delight is incomplete until it's expressed. When you discover something amazing, it's frustrating when you're unable to tell someone or share someone about it. And so you wait for those moments when you can actually meet and gather and share how amazing this thing is. Sometimes, though, we can't even put into words, and we have to bring a friend along for the ride. The thing is that worthier the object, the thing we love the most, the more intense the delight in it would be if we tell someone about it. Yet if it were possible for us, for a created soul like us who's damaged, if we were able to fully appreciate, and that is to love and to delight in, the worthiest object of all, and simultaneously, at every moment, give this delight perfect expression, then I think that soul would be in supreme gratitude. I think if we were able to do that, that would be the depiction of the world to come in the resurrection. Because when the scriptures speak of perpetual praise and worship of God, it doesn't mean that we'll be in an eternal worship service or church service. I think our services, while are great, they're merely just attempts at worship and never fully successful. But to fully enjoy God's presence is to glorify in Jesus Christ and what he's done and what he's brought. And that is to bring us into full personhood, to be who we truly are, God's beloved child. And so in the command to praise him, God is inviting us to enjoy him and what he made. It's not only in the time that we set aside to go to church on Sunday morning, but we're invited to enjoy the reality of Jesus Christ and his reign on earth by living it out in our daily lives. To believe what you worship is to see your life, your callings, the places God has put you in as times to live his reign and rule on earth. In the various callings God has put you in, you are invited to praise him by raising children, working the soil, taking care of your spouse, fellowship with your friends, maintaining your home, enjoying a good beverage, preparing a good meal, using your talents, your gifts, and all your abilities to serve and love your neighbor. Praise and worship is not an action forced upon you, but it's simply a confession of faith. A faith that says yes to what is revealed to you. And what has been revealed to you is the love of God in Jesus Christ. God, who in his work and his person manifested his care and love for the creation, and he claims you, and he invites you to participate in his recreating work. To bring God's reign and his kingdom into the world is to worship and praise him. And it's to bring it into that corner and little slice of the world that he has put you in, to take part in. To believe what you worship is to love the place God has placed you and to see it as important to God's purposes. If you are what you love, then where you are is where God has called you to love. And he thinks it matters. Or else, you wouldn't really be there. If you continue to follow and worship the one who loves you and claims you as his own, and manifest that praise by living out God's rule over the creation in your lives, then you might see God working in the most unlikely places, showing his love and showing his care for the world he's made and the people he loves. And that's you. In Jesus. Amen.